Dennis Prager here. Thanks for listening to the Daily Dennis Prager Podcast. To hear the entire 3 hours of my radio show, commercial-free, every single day, become a member of Pragertopia. You'll also get access to 15 years' worth of archives, as well as the daily show prep. Subscribe at Pragertopia.com. Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager here. It could be a great day in America. We don't know yet. But there's a real chance that the war on free speech, the greatest gift America has ever had for itself and for the world, the most envied item of decent people on earth, who, when they demonstrate for liberty, wave the American flag and no other flag on earth, the people who loathe free speech, that is, the entire left, not liberals. Liberals are pro-free speech in theory, but they vote for the left. So while they are theoretically different from the left, they are instrumentally identical because they make the left powerful. Nevertheless, it is the left that suppresses free speech. I tell you every day, I have never been contradicted, not once. Even the hate mail that I received has not contradicted this. There is no example in the last 105 years dating back to the Russian Revolution. There is no example of free speech allowed when the left attains power, whether it was in Russia in 1917 or at Columbia University and any other university. I only take that one as an example because I attended Columbia and I've watched it sink since I did. It was sinking then, to be honest. Tell me a place where the left is in power, whether it is Google, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, or any place else, certainly academia, that they have allowed dissent. So Elon Musk has looked at Twitter, realizes it suppresses people. It didn't allow the last president of the United States to have an account. The last president of the United States, half this country voted for him. Half. And they said to half this country, F you. That was the message of Twitter. It wasn't F you to Donald Trump. It was those words, and I'm sure they used them at their headquarters, to the half of this country who voted for him. We don't give a damn about you. You should shut your mouths. You're all racist pigs anyway. That is the attitude at Facebook. That is the attitude at Twitter. That is the attitude at Columbia. That is the attitude at every social medium, every mainstream social medium. That is the attitude at the New York Times, which is apoplectic about the idea that Elon Musk will own Twitter, but loved the idea that Jeff Bezos would own the Washington Post. And for that matter, who's the Mexican billionaire who owns the New York Times?
Carlos Slim.
Carlos Slim. Yeah, why don't we talk about that? Oh, he doesn't still?
I don't believe so.
Oh, interesting. Well, he did. Nobody said anything then. Well, they certainly didn't say anything when Jeff Bezos, was he the second richest man in the world? I'm serious. Is he
sometimes
second?
He's the first, sometimes.
Oh, they go back and forth, first and second?
Yeah.
That's fine. If a lefty billionaire owns a medium, that's beautiful. That's noble. But if a non-leftist, Musk strikes me as more of a libertarian than anything else, but he's not a leftist. That drives them crazy. They may not have a monopoly on speech. I'll read to you the New York Times editorial. They're just crazy. You know that there's sexual harassment at Elon Musk's at Tesla? Did you know that? There's no sexual harassment at the New York Times. There's no sexual harassment at any left-wing company. But Elon Musk's Tesla, there was unwanted touching. That alone should be a reason, or excuse me, allegations of unwanted touching. Unwanted touching. I'll talk about that another time. Unwanted touching is wrong. On the other hand, well, I'll give you the other hand. I have actually wrote it up. I am tempted to talk about it now, but this is too important, so forgive me. So Elon Musk owns Twitter. He should move Twitter to Texas or Florida. He should move it to a free state. My own home will lose its value if more and more companies leave. I'll give you an example, then I'll come back to this, of where I don't make decisions on whether it's good for me. It's very, very bad for me personally, financially, that I cannot take my California income tax, which is astronomic, off my federal income tax. That was changed by Donald Trump, but he was right. I suffer for it, and I believe that it is the right call. I am more interested in America's welfare than I am in me. How's that? Well, I am very interested in me. But I want to leave a legacy of a vibrant society to my children and grandchildren. That was the right call. There is no reason why states without an income tax should support states with an income tax. So I think that he should move Twitter from California. He might very well do that. There was a video I saw of weeping workers at Twitter. I have to say that I had zero sympathy for these people. They have been deniers of free speech to my beloved country. Nearly every one of them should be fired and look for productive work in life. They should drive a truck, for example. We need truckers. Yeah, and I heard Walmart starting at $100,000, right? I definitely think that these young employees at Twitter who've devoted their lives to suppressing free speech might consider trucking. I'd like them to deny that they suppress free speech. What else do you do with Twitter if you don't suppress free speech? Ah, you're fighting misinformation. That's exactly the term that Putin uses to suppress his critics. Misinformation. I spoke to you yesterday about a speech I will be giving on Mother's Day in La Cañada, California, very near here where I broadcast, where a Jewish organization, the most dynamic one in the world, called Chabad. They've opened up a Chabad house. They have them all over the world. I visited a Chabad house in Cambodia, and there are no Jews in Cambodia. And they opened one up, and I wanted to help them out. So I volunteered to give a speech. I'm giving a speech on raising moral leaders. The rabbi purposely picked a non-political topic. He could not even put a notice of my speech up at the La Cañada parents' Facebook page because they took it down saying Dennis Prager deals in hate and misinformation. Yep, hate and misinformation. Those of you who listen to my show know that's what you're getting. Is there a single example of misinformation that they gave? Not one. I am religiously and personally and temperamentally preoccupied with truth. If I say something that is inaccurate and find it out, I say immediately, oh, that was a mistake. Misinformation. Misinformation is the term Putin and the left use for what they differ with. Is it misinformation to say that, by and large, masks are worthless? Why is that misinformation? Because the CDC likes masks? How do you know the CDC is not giving you misinformation? Do you know how many scientists believe that it is worthless? Did you even know about the great, was it the Great Barrington Declaration, right? Tens of thousands, I believe, scientists signed against lockdown. Is that misinformation? Why is it misinformation? Because Fauci doesn't like it? He is the determiner of information and misinformation? I'll bet tweets that even reference the Great Barrington Declaration were taken down at Twitter as misinformation. You can't quote scientists on Twitter. I'll be back.
The Dennis Prager Show.
Spring and summer are the seasons for finally getting outdoors for entertaining, pool parties, and barbecues. But if your yard looks like a plant cemetery, you're not going to enjoy it as much. So get your place looking like a resort, easy, with fast-growing trees. When it comes to caring for your plants, know-how matters. There's no waiting in lines, no messy cars from hauling plants all over town. You order online or over the phone. Your plants are shipped to your door in 1 to 2 days, and their growing and care advice is available 24/7. Whether you're looking for increased privacy, shade, or adding some natural beauty, fast-growing trees have the perfect plants and expertise to help you find them. I'm a big fan of fast-growing trees, so I give you my personal endorsement of them. They have a 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, so you can trust everything will be healthy for years to come. Go to fastgrowingtrees.com/Prager, and you'll get 15% off your entire order. 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com/Prager. fastgrowingtrees.com/Prager. To the consternation of many, many people, I have said that I've been agnostic on the issue of the 2020 election and whether it was fraudulently won. It bothers the left that I don't out and out call that misinformation and a lie. And it bothers some on the right that I don't out and out say, of course, it was a fraud. So I have lived with that. Everyone in public life has to live with disappointing people. And then along came Dinesh D'Souza's film, and it moved me toward the, it seems to have been fraudulent, in addition to the anomalies, which are not discussed in the film, because it's not about that. It's about the mules, people who put ballots in the middle of the night, and I mean the middle of the night, I mean the wee hours of the morning, would go to ballot boxes and put ballots in. There is no honest explanation for all of these mules. How many mules did this Truth the Vote group monitor?
Well, Dennis, in the initial search, Truth the Vote purchased an incredible body of evidence, which is to say 10 trillion cell phone pings. And then they ran a search algorithm looking for people who had gone to 5 left-wing organizations. These are the so-called vote stash houses, and 10 or more drop boxes. So these are the very industrious, egregious mules who are going to many drop boxes. And we uncovered over 2,000 mules in that alone. But then they did a search in which they dropped the number of drop boxes from 10 to 5, and then the number of mules just explodes. Huh. Because it turns out there were a lot more people doing more modest kind of mule trafficking. And now you're looking at a number of mules in the tens of thousands. We don't give the exact number, but it's a much bigger number than 2,000.
How many mules have acknowledged there being a mule?
Not very many, and for the simple reason that no one so far has made a serious effort. And this is something that only law enforcement can do, because Truth the Vote has the cell phone IDs of these mules, but it doesn't have their names. Each cell phone has a sort of a digital fingerprint called the cell phone ID. Now, it takes law enforcement to go to a court, and the court says, yeah, you can go to the provider, and they'll give you the name and perhaps the address of who that guy actually is. Somebody needs to arrest the mules and say, who paid you? Who organized this? Who put you up to this? That has not occurred, and the big question following the film is, will it occur?
That's a very big question. That would be devastating. Do you think a Republican administration would do that?
Well, let's look at an actual example. We're talking now about Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger in Georgia, a Republican, a part of the Kemp administration. And Raffensperger is in an awkward position because right after the election, he pompously proclaimed that the election was completely secure. In fact, he got into a somewhat raucous argument with Trump about that. And so he is publicly on record and was lionized in the media for being the apostle of election integrity. So imagine how difficult it's going to be for that guy, sort of the sheriff of the town, to now say, wait a minute, there was actually coordinated fraud going on under my nose, and I was so stupid that I had no idea this was going on, but now I have to admit it. Well, Raffensperger has actually reopened his investigation based exclusively on information provided by True the Vote, the research organization that I'm working in partnership with here. And so he acknowledges that there is something here, but he hasn't really pursued that investigation. I would just say so far it's moving at what I would call the Durham tortoise pace.
Let me go to some calls here. Patrick in Philadelphia. You're on with Dinesh D'Souza and me. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
So I would like to know, where is the proof that Mr. D'Souza is claiming he has? I heard him run through a hypothetical, two hypotheticals of harvesting votes from nursing homes and from homeless shelters. But I also heard him say that this is a way that they may have gotten the votes. It sounds like there is no proof of that.
Okay, hold on if you would, Patrick, and you too, please, Dinesh. I'm taking a break, but I want to remind everyone that the film, which is a remarkable documentary, is coming out next week, 2000mules.com. You can see it in a theater and four other ways, 2000mules.com. Many people own coins that have not performed as well as they'd expected. Some own coins that have done better than they expected. Or maybe you just want to cash out and do something else with the money. Markets change, and to understand the current value of your precious metals portfolio, you should get a new valuation. So I'd like to tell you about my friend, and he is, otherwise I never use that term, Nick Rovich. Became my friend because I so admire his honesty and integrity and knowledge of the coin world, of the gold world, the silver world. He's owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. For over 40 years, Nick has built a reputation for trust and honesty, and his goal is to earn your business for life. Nick won't push you to sell, but when you're ready, I believe he offers the best price, trade, and consignment deals compared to anyone. Right now, Nick and the AmFed team are offering their exclusive coin performance review for free. That's right, free. With a no-pressure guarantee from Nick. Call Nick at 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694. Hi, everybody. I'm Dennis Prager speaking with, and you can watch us, of course. My shows are now on a video. Where do people go, Sean? SalemNewsChannel.com. Dinesh D'Souza has made this film, which is very upsetting. Whatever side you're on, it's got to be upsetting. If you're intellectually and morally open, something bad happened in the election of 2020. You can decide whether you believe it was decisive, but something bad happened. So Dinesh, this caller from Philadelphia says, you're speculating when you say that ballots might have been obtained from nursing homes or homeless shelters, and there's no proof of such. What is your response to him?
Well, my response to him is, let's start with what we do know, and then let's ask what obligation I have to prove anything beyond that, right? So we do know that these votes are originating in left-wing nonprofits that are ensconced in these democratic urban areas. Now, by the way, it should be noted that these nonprofits, 501c3 organizations, many of them, are forbidden by the IRS from engaging in electioneering. They're not allowed to do electioneering on behalf of any party or candidate. So right there, you have a very interesting phenomenon. Left-wing organizations, in the name of, quote, get out the vote, are actually getting out the mules. Number two, we have hundreds of thousands of votes that are being delivered by paid mules. And here we have to make a critical distinction between vote harvesting and ballot trafficking. Now, there are some states, California predictably the most liberal, that allow you or me to give my vote, my ballot to anybody and say, hey, go drop it off. So that's vote harvesting. By the way, in the five swing states that we're talking about, the rules are much more strict. So in Georgia, for example, you are allowed to give your vote, your ballot to a family member, or if you are incapacitated or confined to a caregiver, that's it. You can't give your vote to a friend or anyone else to deliver, let alone to a paid mule. Now, here's the point. In no state, not in California, nowhere else, is anybody allowed to be paid to deliver votes. That automatically renders these votes illegal, and the process by which this is organized becomes not only an illegal, but a criminal operation. So all of this is fully demonstrated. You have illegal votes by the hundreds of thousands being cooked up and collected by left-wing nonprofits that are not supposed to be doing it, who are then illegally paying the mules. And all of this is proven beyond a reasonable doubt in the movie. So it's kind of like saying, I've got the murderer, I've got video of him breaking into Fort Knox, I see the gun going off, and now the caller is saying, wait a minute, you don't know exactly which gun store he bought the gun from. And I go, well, listen, there are gun stores all over the place. He could have gotten them 10 different ways. It's not hard to get your hands on a gun. And he goes, yeah, but you haven't proven where this particular mule got that particular gun. And I'm saying even that can be figured out in 10 seconds by law enforcement. Arrest the mule and he's going to tell you. So I don't see this as a very forceful question because we have the crime being committed, it's on video, and some of the details of the crime are easily accessible to law enforcement to figure out.
Okay, Patrick, I kept you on. What would you like to say?
Well, actually, that's a great segue into my larger question. If I had a video of a murder happening, I would not make a movie about it. I would go to law enforcement with my evidence. I don't understand. If the evidence is so incontrovertible,
well, you would make a movie about it. Well, I followed you until now. Law enforcement
with
it doesn't
information.
Okay, forgive me. I just want to say, I don't understand the objection about making the movie. Movies are made about things that happen. There were movies made about the Kennedy assassination 50 years after the assassination. They didn't just go to law enforcement. This is a way of having people pressure for law enforcement to look into it.
Did he contact law enforcement with the supposed evidence of this illegal
activity?
Okay,
all right. Well, all right. Listen, I want to thank you for calling, and you want to give an answer to that, Dinesh?
Oh, absolutely. Look, the evidence was uncovered by a group called True the Vote. And they're the ones who bought the geo-tracking data. Now, from the beginning, they have been really clear that they are willing to cooperate with, in Georgia, not just the FBI, but the GBI, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. They have filed a complaint with Raffensperger's office, the Secretary of State, as I mentioned earlier. He has reopened an investigation into it. They've also been, they've also provided reports in Arizona, reports in Wisconsin. So this is a group that wants to work with the authorities. But you have to remember that in some of these states, you have Democratic secretaries of state, you have a law enforcement apparatus that operates at the behest of the political establishment. So law enforcement is not going to move if the attorney general doesn't want to move. And obviously, calling from Pennsylvania, you know that there's a Democratic Secretary of State. And so the political establishment has the ability, and in many cases has shown no interest in having these kinds of investigations or arresting the mules, in part because this is an operation that to some degree they themselves created the infrastructure for. I'm not saying that they're colluding with the operation directly, but they're the ones who loosened the signature requirements. They're the ones who put the drop boxes there in the first place. So this is a corruption that at some level goes pretty much all the way to the top.
Lucas, Texas. Lucas. Mike in Lucas, Texas says, Bill Barr says no evidence election was stolen. What is your response to that?
Bill Barr is, I think, in the position of the sheriff where this occurred right under his nose, and he would seem like a complete fool if he were to now acknowledge. I mean, I'd love to see his expression if he sat in the movie. I mean, I would pay money to see this and just have him look at the evidence as a reasonable person and tell me what he thinks as he left the theater. I think that this guy was kind of napping on the job. He's kind of an establishment guy. He kind of assumed. I mean, think about it. All these people who are telling us it's the most secure election in history. My question is, how would you know? Now, the answer is, AP, for example, Associated Press says, well, we've only found 400 cases of election fraud in the courts. But that's like saying we've only seen 400 cases of drug arrests in the courts, and therefore we've concluded that in the five states in question, there are only 400 people taking drugs.
Towels just don't seem to dry you anymore. They feel soft and lotiony in the store, but you get them home and they don't absorb. Well, Mike Lindell at MyPillow found that out around 2006, and towels changed forever. He found the best towel company right here in the USA. They have proprietary technology to create towels that feel soft but actually work. And that happens to be true. I use them. They are all made with USA cotton, and they come with the MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. Six-piece set, two bath, two hand towels, two washcloths. Regularly $109.99, now $39.99. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the towels, by entering the promo code Prager, or call 800-761-6302 for these great radio specials. MyPillow.com, promo code Prager.
To be or not to be? That is the question.
Where was God? Isn't God supposed to be good? Isn't he supposed to love us? And does God want us to suffer?
10 years, you're not finished yet? Morty! Why did you do this to me?
Who are you?
Bruce? I'm God.
Bingo! Yahtzee! Is that your final answer?
Our survey says
God! Bing, 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 bing. Well, it was nice to meet you, God. Thank you for the Grand Canyon, and good luck with the apocalypse.
Hi, everybody. The Ultimate Issues Hour is the third hour of my show each Tuesday. Some enormous question of life. Sometimes religious, sometimes philosophical, sometimes political, sometimes personal, sometimes psychological, but it's a big issue. And on occasion, I take off from an issue in the news. That will be the case today. Usually it's not news-based. But I want to deal with a subject I have not dealt with on the Ultimate Issues Hour ever, though I have certainly addressed it on occasion in all my other hours, and that is, what is free speech? And how important is it? It's big. It's a big question. So what is free speech? According to Pew Research, one of the most prestigious opinion poll companies, something approaching 50% of young people in this country do not believe in free speech for hate speech. If you want to be alarmed, that should alarm you. On two grounds. One, on the position itself, the merits or non-merits in this case of that position, I'll explain. The other is how poorly these young people who say that think. The idea that you believe you are for free speech except for hate speech means you are not for free speech. They don't understand that. I am for everybody to be allowed to wear whatever color clothing they want, providing it isn't a color I dislike. That would be a perfect analogy. You are perfectly free to wear any color outfit. However, if I don't like the color, I will ban you from wearing it. I will prohibit you. In fact, I will even jail you. So are you for freedom of clothing color? No, you're not. Your freedom for clothing color providing you like it. All right. This sails over half of the country, the left half. Actually, it's not true. Liberals would understand this. So it sails over the heads of 20% of the country. But unfortunately, 40% of young people, because they've never been exposed to the argument in the other direction. The notion that you are for free speech but not for hate speech is absurd, is logically absurd, that you're not for free speech. The most obvious objection is, who is to determine what is the hate speech? The answer is you. So in other words, if you say, I am for free speech except for hate speech, what you are saying is, I am for free speech only if I like the speech. If I don't agree with the speech, I feel that I should be able to shut it down. A story. When I was a young guy, Nazis, the real Nazis, I mean, honest to goodness, swastika wearing Hitler idealizing Americans who were in the Nazi party. There weren't many, but there were more then. This was the 1970s, I believe. They decided, because they're sadists, to march in, of all places, Skokie, Illinois. Skokie is a suburb of Chicago, and many Holocaust survivors lived there. You can imagine the pain that they would endure seeing the symbol of what murdered, in almost every case, a good part of their family. We know the trauma of losing one member of a family to murder. Imagine all your cousins, uncles, aunts, grandparents, parents, often children, all murdered. It is a wonder that these people moved on with life. But that, of course, is another subject. But that's where the Nazis decided to march. And as I recall it, pretty much everybody agreed that they should be allowed to do so, because in America you have free speech, even for what the vast majority would agree is hate speech. Today, what is called hate speech, you don't have to be a real Nazi. You simply have to say, for example, that men do not give birth. J.K. Rowling is the Harry Potter genius. She's the author of the Harry Potter books. J.K. Rowling said that there are only two sexes, male and female, and she has death threats. She's considered a major hater. Did I get that right on J.K. Rowling?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So what is called hate speech today only means that which the left doesn't agree with. That's called hate speech. Give me an example of anything the left differs with that is not called hate speech. I'll wait. Ah, what's better than I do it? That's right. Yeah. Ask that of your relative on the left. Name me something that the left differs with that is not declared hate speech. Really, I'm not kidding. Can you think of anything? I have some bright people here. I mean, go down any subject. America. If you say America is not systemically racist, you're a hater. You hate blacks. Right? Yeah, that's hate speech. America is not systemically racist is hate speech. America was not founded in 1619. Hate speech. They're only men and women. Whether one identifies with it or not does not deny the fact that there are men and women, just as there's only male and female in the animal kingdom, or at least certainly in any species higher than some very primitive organisms. It's all called hate speech. Now you know why you have to have hate. You have to have free speech virtually unimpeded. Because the moment you say, ah, but not for, yes, not for crying fire in a crowded theater, not for putting up a way to build an atom bomb. We all recognize that there are some limitations, not on opinion, but on that which will cause irreparable harm to a society because of the facts of the message, like how to make an atom bomb. We all understand that. Where to purchase nuclear weapons. But these are very rare. As a general rule, certainly opinion, as opposed to providing data for mass destruction, opinion is allowed. I'll give you another example. Also concerns Jews, as it happens. In I think every European country, certainly most, so I would assume every EU country, it is actually a crime to deny the Holocaust. Now, anyone who denies the Holocaust is scum, is human dreck. It is not possible for me to overstate my contempt, indeed hatred, for people who deny the most documented atrocity in human history. However, in America, you can be despicable. That's the way it works with free speech. Not in Europe. 1-8-PRAGER-776, Ultimate Issues Hour. Free speech is the subject.
The Dennis Prager Show.
Dennis Prager here. Ultimate Issues Hour is about free speech. So I explained to you why it is inherently self-contradictory to say I believe in free speech except for hate speech. However, so many young people have been brainwashed, and I mean that literally. I don't mean their brains were washed, but I mean it literally that they have been brainwashed by their teachers at college and now high school and increasingly elementary school that they can make a statement that is inherently absurd. I believe in free speech except for hate speech. What you're saying is you don't believe in free speech because you don't believe in free speech with regard to anything that you don't agree with. Okay, that's not free speech. Having defined it, now let's talk about how important it is. Free speech is what gives humans dignity. If you cannot say what you think, you are rendered not human. You are rendered robotic. The people of North Korea, who have absolutely no free speech, they are even banned from free thinking. They can't even think in ways that Kim Jong-un does not approve of. They are told that he knows your thoughts, and I would say most North Koreans believe that. It sounds crazy to you, but nothing is crazy. I don't believe anything is crazy anymore. The brainwashing of the American people into behaviors that were so utterly injurious to themselves and to their children because health authorities said so proves to me the ease with which vast numbers of people can be brought to believe idiocy. This was two unbelievably sobering years for me. Yes, let's keep children out of school, even though all it does is hurt them. That's all it did, was hurt them. Teachers were in the vanguard of hurting kids. Why you trust your kids with teachers after what they did for the last 2 years is, shall we say, a puzzle. I'm using as mild a term as I can conjure up. Masks on two-year-olds on an airplane. Cleanest air available outside of surgical room. Maybe even cleaner than a surgical room. Let's put masks on two-year-olds. And so the ease with which people can be brainwashed, don't laugh at North Koreans, given Americans' conduct, and everybody else's, in Europe, anywhere. Israel, you name it. The sheep of the world have demonstrated that they are the majority of the world. So I don't mock the North Korean for believing Kim Jong-un can read his or her thoughts. Free speech is what gives the human dignity. Yep. It's not the only thing that gives people dignity, but it's up there. What else gives people dignity? It's an interesting question. What else gives people dignity? Not living in abject poverty. Abject poverty is a compromise on human dignity. Because you can end up living sort of like an animal. I would say abject poverty and absence of free speech. But I mean abject poverty. I mean you have essentially nothing. We don't have that in the United States. What we call poverty would be in many places in the world considered middle class. So what gives you more dignity than the ability to say what you think? If you can't say what you think, you're a human in a biological sense, but only in a biological sense. I remember people on the left saying all of my lifetime, wow, they have such a high literacy rate in Cuba. To which I always responded, yeah, but they can't read what they want. So here's an interesting question. Would you rather be illiterate and have freedom or literate and not have freedom? I'd rather be illiterate and have freedom. I could hear a book. I could hear an idea. I can speak my mind. But people don't cherish free speech. Another revelation of the last 2 years to me. People don't cherish it. They don't cherish liberty, period. Liberty is not an instinct. It's not a yearning. People yearn to be taken care of. They don't yearn to be free. So, I defined free speech. And I told you that it's the most important of all the freedoms. And now I'll go to your calls. 1-8-PRAGER-776. 877-243-7776. Let's see here. Wow, this is interesting. In New Jersey, it's Rob. Hello, Rob.
Hi, Dennis. I wanted to just back up kind of what you were saying, especially back up that poll. So I'm a law enforcement instructor at one of the law enforcement academies in New Jersey. And I specifically teach law as it relates to law enforcement to police recruits. And, you know, this never really occurred to me until a couple years ago, but now with each new class, I always pose this question to them. Is hate speech free speech? Is it covered by the First Amendment? Because we cover the amendments, obviously, in the police academy. And I'm telling you, never fails. half the hands go up and they say, no, it is not free speech. And when I tell them it is free speech, that it's covered by free speech, they look at me as if I just told them that the earth is not round.
Hold on with me. Hold on. This is mind-boggling. Dennis Prager here. Thanks for listening to the Daily Dennis Prager Podcast. To hear the entire 3 hours of my radio show, commercial-free, every single day, become a member of Pragertopia. You'll also get access to 15 years' worth of archives, as well as the daily show prep. Subscribe at Pragertopia.com.